welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Yes, indeed. If you just tuned in, well, you missed some really good radio, but we're glad you're here now. We really are. We are here every Saturday from 10 till noon, so tell your friends, have them join us, and have them call in too with their health questions. In any event, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert going to start off. This actually is our fourth hour of live call-in radio every Saturday morning. You can, if you want to know where we are for all 4 hours on radio, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top of the page, and it will show you where we are. So you can actually start listening, calling in with your questions as early as 8 o'clock every Saturday morning. So there you have it. Welcome to you, Dr. Michael Gilbert. Michael, are you there?
Good morning to you both. What a beautiful day.
Yes. Yeah, we've talked about that. Man, I love this good weather. It is right. We had fun, by the way, having lunch with you and Colleen this week. Thanks for having me over. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, listen, I have an email, or excuse me, a text that came in from a friend, and I'll read it in a minute, but I just soon go, if you don't mind, to a question from Penny in Bellevue, who's called in about 20, 30 minutes ago, hoping that she could ask you a question on the air. You okay with that, Michael?
I'd be delighted, especially if she's had to wait that long.
Well, it might have even been longer than that, but don't tell anybody.
Penny, do that in my office.
No. Only I would do something like that here.
And then only on the radio show.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So let's go to Penny in Bellevue. Welcome to the show, Penny. Penny, are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Hey, good morning. Great. Good morning. You have a question for Dr. Gilbert.
I absolutely do. My husband, type 2 insulin-dependent diabetic, last year showed in the eye exam a beginning of a cataract. We went back for our annual exam, subpar exam, may I note. No glaucoma testing, no peripheral vision exam, but they did indicate that there's a cataract in the one eye getting a little bit larger and that there's some burst blood vessels in the back of the eye. And they asked my husband if it bothered him. His answer was no. My answer was yes, because it bothers me. He can't see things. So it bothers me, and I think he figures he missed some sort of a surgical bullet, and I'm aiming directly for him, and I'm calling for some advice this morning.
Sure. I heard several things. One, I'm very concerned that with his history of diabetes, that they may not have done a thorough check for glaucoma. Certainly one of those conditions that has to be checked in that age group, and especially with the glaucoma history, or I'm sorry, with the diabetic history. Did you also say that he had some abnormal blood vessels in the back of the eye?
Yes, they commented on some burst blood vessels in the back of the eye.
Well, that most likely is a manifestation of the diabetes in the retina. And so a component of the vision change certainly could be related to the diabetes. That would definitely need to be checked on. That's very important. Now, your main point was the change in vision. So it certainly could be the diabetic retinopathy. We want to check on that. But the by far the most common would be the slow change of cataracts. And you're quite right. I have patients who get to the point where they just fail the driver's test, and they don't understand why. And the reason is and that failure being based on their cataracts. The reason is how slowly the cataracts progress and the brain's incredible ability to make micro adjustments and compensation and say, the world is just fine. We need to get on with our life, and you can see well enough to do what you did yesterday. But if you compare it, you know, if that change that had happened over the last 3, 5, 10 years had happened over a month, they'd come in saying, oh, my God, I'm going blind. Can you help? It's the slow change and the adaptation of the human brain that says, I'm just fine. But oftentimes it's a spouse who says, I'm not going to let you. My mother, my dad was a city Seattle fireman as I was growing up. And I so remember where she said, unless you get your cataracts fixed, I'm doing the driving. Well, his pride would disallow that. And he got his cataracts fixed and was so glad.
We're definitely.
But I think, you know, something that may help him, were you to come in, I actually have a video system where we get to show patients their cataracts. And it is, I almost said eye-opening, for which I would have to apologize, so I won't say it. It is surprising because they can see that what should have been crystal clear, like a camera lens or like their glasses, is cloudy, hazy, and oftentimes kind of amber or yellow. And it alerts them to say, oh, my goodness, maybe there is a change. And then to bring to their attention that the most likely places where they would notice it, where adaptation doesn't work, is glare. And around here in the Northwest, night driving starts about 3 o'clock in the afternoon come winter. And so it's often in those dark, rainy, wintry afternoons that you notice, gee, I'm not seeing quite as well in the rain as I used to, or such like. So I think it may help him to see the actual cataract degradation. But perhaps more compelling, someone needs to check very carefully, make sure the diabetes isn't part of that decrease in vision.
Very good. Very good. Well, then, an appointment is definitely in order.
I'd look forward to seeing you folks. It sounds like we can be some help.
And Penny, create some marital harmony in the process.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's always helpful. Penny, it says here that you're from Bellevue, and it just so happens that Northwest Vision Institute is in Bellevue. So Northwest Vision Institute. Now, let me give you the phone number. You and so many other people that are listening right now, the spouses who are frustrated with their spouses that are being procrastinators. Here's the number, 425-450-2020. That's, I'll give it again, 425-450-2020. So there you go. Write that number down, and if your husband can't read it, you call.
There you go. You got a deal. We'll see you.
You know, can I just add one point? Usually with cataracts, reading is the last to go. So if he's having difficulty reading, while cataracts will affect that, that's more likely the diabetic retinopathy or macular degeneration, which would make it even more urgent that we check it out.
Well, it frustrated me because, Penny, when you made a list of things that the other ophthalmologist or optometrician didn't do, those were all things that you did for me just this last Tuesday morning for my regular appointment at your clinic, Michael.
Honestly, so, that's a standard of care comprehensive exam, Pete.
Well, I find that we're doing the, could you reach this? And he reaches out, and I say, no. Hotter, colder, to try to get him to move left or right or back to find something. So,
I think we can help.
All right. I'm sure you can.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Penny. Appreciate it.
Michael, I'm going to tell you a little story about my father.
Yes.
Who had cataracts. He was a diabetic. He did not take care of himself. His vision was clearly getting bad. He pulled out in front of another car in an intersection and got broadsided, totaled out his car, got beat up a bit, but, you know, survived, got a new car. 2 months later, pulled out in front of another car, got broadsided, totaled the car.
Boy.
Recovered from those injuries, bought a third car, pulled out in front of a car and got broadsided a third time.
You're kidding.
Finally agreed to go to the ophthalmologist. Who told him that he was legally blind.
Yeah.
And it was time to quit driving. Fine. My father did not want to quit driving. He continued to drive, although legally blind. I called his doctor from here, from Kirkland, and said, isn't there something you can do to get his driver's license removed? He can't see. He's wrecked three cars. He's going to kill himself or somebody else. And I was told that down there in Texas, if he can hold his white cane out the window and feel the speed bumps in the middle of the road, they'll let him drive.
There is the Texas way. Goodness.
There is indeed.
Well, the other comment that I have heard many people say, and that apparently some ophthalmologists are saying, yes, you have a cataract, but don't worry about it. When it gets worse, let me know. And to me, that seems, well, it seems stupid.
Well, especially with modern technology, when they can go in, remove the lens, put a fancy new lens in, give you 20/20 or better vision.
Yeah.
If they use the newer lenses, you can even accommodate, see close and far, and everything is copacetic. It's what, 15 minutes per eye? Come on.
It's just, it's mind-boggling. Michael, you had said in a previous interview that if you're 50 or older, you really ought to have your eyes examined every year. Why is that important? We've only got about a minute, so but
sure.
why is that important?
There are many age related eye diseases that unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but certainly to patients' disadvantage, there are no symptoms. Glaucoma is a painless loss of vision and has no symptoms and increases in diagnosis with age. Not in a linear way, but rather in a geometric way. So with each passing decade, the risk or the diagnostic likelihood of picking up glaucoma increases geometrically. So glaucoma, cataracts, as Penny was pointing out, many people with cataracts don't recognize that it's actually changing because it changes so slowly until they're to the level of more severe, way below driver's license vision, or in Jerry's dad's case, legal blindness. So there are many diabetic retinopathy. It progresses so slowly that you don't know. Macular degeneration in its most preventable form has absolutely no symptoms. And for God's sake, that's when you want to catch it, when it has no symptoms. You don't want to wait until it's causing distortion, damage in one eye or the other, when it's something that you can't influence and can't reverse. So there are so many things that happen that are without symptoms, and even if they had symptoms, you want to catch it before you have any symptoms
and
prevent those.
That's for sure. And with that, we got to go, Michael, but I want to remind everybody, if you're 50 or older and you haven't had an eye exam in a year or more, you need to call Northwest Vision Institute. Here's the number, 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020, Dr. Michael Gilbert. Michael,
good
thank
to talk
you.
To you both.
Good talking to you.
Take care, Mike.
All right, when we come back, we've got Judith from Seattle has a question about keto gel.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is. Sounds like maybe I do. Oh, she wants to know about relief factor and also stem cells. How those three relate, I'm not sure if they do.
A polyvalent question. All right.
That's right. All right. And then another question about acupuncture is coming our way. Another question about thyroid. Don't go far.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love.
You know, you just heard one of our patients, unsolicited, say that, yes, he not only feels better today than he did 5 or 10 years ago, he feels better than he felt 30 years ago. I did not ask him to say that. I really did not. It sounds a little dramatic, but we hear that all the time, don't we, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we always hear 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but even 30 years, and in this case, I believed him. He really does feel better.
Yep.
And so we just want to make sure that you don't fall into that trap, that fatalistic trap of thinking, well, I'm 50, I'm 60, 70, 80, 90, and that's just how I guess I have to feel. I have to fall apart. Everybody else is falling apart, and that's just my fatalistic reality. Just don't believe it, because there are things you can do. And maybe the first step for you is to grab one of our free health analysis appointments. And again, I've already apologized. We don't even have any more in August, in July, in our Kirkland Clinic or our Tacoma Clinic. But we do in Linwood. We have like 13 or 14. At least we did at the beginning of the show today, this morning at 8 o'clock.
Half of them may be gone already.
Yeah, they probably. So there's still a few in Linwood. And again, you get the two free tests, the blood test and the special in-body test. So you get those two free tests, and we're still giving the $100 of free longevity supplements. So there's no reason to procrastinate. Grab one of those free appointments in our Linwood clinic, and then maybe in a week or two we'll open up August, at least the first week of August at least. But for now, grab one. Just do it. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push on the button right in the middle of the page. Schedule your own appointment. That's the smart thing to do. Okay, let us go to Seattle and talk to Judith. Judith, we are glad you called.
Hello, Judith.
Hi.
How can we help?
Excuse me. I am beginning to have the tendonitis or the Achilles problem that Dr. Mixon said he was having, and he said that he got a prescription for the keto gel. And I'm wondering, first of all, what that is, and is it necessary to have it done by a compound pharmacist?
Yes, at least the preparation that I like to use is custom compounded. I use what we refer to in our clinic as KetoCam. It's ketoprofen and piroxicam with a little cyclobenzaprine added. And the piroxicam and the ketoprofen are non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And then the cyclobenzaprine is a muscle relaxer, breaks spasm. And we have the pharmacist put all three chemicals in a cream. I like to use a vanishing cream base so that it rubs and just kind of is absorbed into my skin. The first time I developed a Achilles tendonitis, I was running at about 40, and it took about 3 or 4 months to clear up, and then I didn't get it again until my early 60s, and then it probably took 2 months to clear up, and this time it's come again, and I'm really irritated that it keeps me from running. I'm able to walk 6 or 8 miles a day, but I can't run it, and I like to run. So I had the pharmacy make me up some of this, and I apply it starting right down at my heel, and it goes up across the back of my foot and up the Achilles tendon into the calf muscle. Use about a gram a day or a gram on each application, and I put it on three times, sometimes four times a day. But I've only been applying it about 3 days now, and the pain is almost totally gone. And so I had no discomfort at all when I was walking this morning. I figure next day or so I'll start running again.
Good.
So works well, but you have to get it prescribed.
There's no way I'm going to be able to explain to my doctor and have to write that prescription. So
I know.
I become a member of your clinic before I get that done.
Well, or here's a simpler way. I mean, we would love to have you as a member in our clinic. So feel free to come get your health analysis appointment, and you know, we'll take you on as a patient and make you as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as we can. But if all you need is the KetoCam, call Paramount Pharmacy first of the week, talk to the pharmacist there, have him send your doctor the formula for the KetoCam that we use. He can actually give your doctor some guidance, and if your doctor is willing to accept guidance from a pharmacist, which I hope he is humble enough to do, you know, he can write the prescription, and the pharmacist will send it out to you by mail. You'll have it in a couple of days.
Yes, Paramount Pharmacy, let me give you the phone number. You and so many others listening right now will appreciate this. KetoCam. That's the term.
And I like the KetoCam DS, which stands for double strength.
Okay.
Because I want results in a hurry.
KetoCam DS. And it's Paramount Pharmacy. Their toll-free number is 855-301-7677. That's 855-301-7677. They are very good people.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. I will certainly call them. Now, I had that mixed question that you were pondering about for the stem cells and
yes.
the release factor. It's uh-huh. just that I started taking that release factor when you first introduced it many years ago because uh-huh. I was waking up with joint pain and I also had shoulder pain. And,
sure.
you know, when I first started taking it, I did followed your guidance and took it two or three times a day. But then as time went on, I took it once a day. But whenever uh-huh. I'm, you know, really active or something, lifting heavy stuff, you know, like gardening and stuff like that, I find I go back to taking it three times a day. But I was wondering, mm-hmm. is there some point where I should consider the stem cell? I mean, as long as it's just, you know, not consistent, everyday sort of thing, or is it does it have to do with the level of pain you're feeling before you go to the stem cell?
Yeah, it has to do with how much discomfort you're having and how much joint damage has been done. You know, I use the Relief Factor twice a day, every day. I take it first thing in the morning when I get up, and I take it again before I go to bed at night.
Me too.
And 90% of the time, you know, it keeps my joints feeling just fine. Once in a while, I will run extra hard or extra fast, or I'll climb in the mountains and really stress my joints. And I may need it three times a day for two or three days. Yeah. So for me, I have had no urgency about going and getting stem cell injections. Because remember, you are looking at about $6,000 for each joint that you inject. And so, you know, if you've got one joint, if you're talking about your elbow, that's fine. But if you're like me and you use your body heavily and you get aches and pains and stiffness everywhere, well, the Relief Factor is a better approach. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I was just wondering if I should be planning to do that anytime soon, but I think I'm going to hold off on that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
You're welcome. All right, let's go to a break. And when we come back, we've got a half an hour to take as many calls as we can sneak in there. We've got Austin from Milton has a question about acupuncture. Oh, that'll be good. And then Kathy from Renton has a question about thyroids. And then we've got two lines open. So I bet you we can get those four calls in. That means you have to call with your question right now. The toll-free number is 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Go ahead. Make the call. Get in line. We'll get to you.
Born to be.
And I have been listening, so you guys are absolutely delightful. The three of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
By your side.
All right, we've got 25 minutes. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. If you just tuned in, Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinic, with three clinics to serve you all throughout the Puget Sound area, one in Tacoma, one in Linwood, and in Kirkland. So we got you surrounded, trying to make it as easy as possible. Let's take some more calls here. Let's go to Milton and talk with Austin. Good morning, Austin.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, right after the first year, I started having a pain in my right leg starting up at the groin area and going down clear to my ankle, and it's gotten worse, and I've used four relief factors a day, and it's still getting worse, and now it's gotten to an unbearable point for my mentality, and I wondered if acupuncture might be a solution, and what's your opinion about acupuncture? I've been a patient, incidentally, if you guys, for I'm in my third year.
Okay. Well, thank you for being a patient for the last 3 years. I'd like to keep you alive to be a patient for another 30 years, so let's find out what's causing that pain. You know, when I hear somebody with a complaint like yours, I get worried because it sounds like you're trying to cover it up or cool it off with just the relief factor. And I want to know why it hurts. You know, do we have a femoral hernia or referred perineal hernia? Is there a tumor in your pelvis that's pressing on a nerve? Is there a vascular or a neurologic problem in there? I mean, something is causing that pain. And if we don't know what's causing it, they're not going to be able to fix it. The relief factor is pretty good at cooling off inflammation and decreasing pain perception, but it's not fixing the underlying problem. And it sounds to me like it's getting bad enough. You really ought to be doing that. Let me give you a story from my days as a country doctor that explains why I'm especially paranoid about somebody with groin or leg pains that are unexplained. I had a 13-year-old girl, she'd been 12, just turned 13, that came into my office complaining of right knee pain. And I examined her knee, and I didn't see anything wrong. It wasn't swollen, wasn't discolored. There was a full range of motion. And so I figured, well, okay. You know, she had been taking some new karate classes, and she'd been kicking, and I figured that was probably it, a little strain injury. But she came back a week later, and the pain was getting worse. And I sent her for x-rays of her knee and so on, and everything looked fine. I got an orthopedic consultation. The orthopedist didn't see much of anything wrong with the knee. It continued to get worse and worse over about 3 months, and we were just perplexed as to why this kid is having knee pain with no obvious problem. One evening, she lost control of her bladder and went to the emergency room, and in the process of working up, they did a CAT scan, a CT scan of her pelvis, and she had a Wilms tumor This is a cancer in her ovaries that had spread through her pelvis, and her knee pain was due to the tumor putting pressure on her nerves as they went down out of her spine across the pelvic canal and down to the leg. And she died.
My goodness.
Okay. Now, had I done a pelvic exam, I'd have been able to feel that great big ugly tumor, but I'm not in the habit of doing pelvic exams on 13-year-old kids with knee pain.
Yeah. Wow. Of course not. Yeah.
So nobody looked in the pelvis until she lost control of the bladder. You know, sometimes in medicine, you get bit. You've got a pain that is unexplained and getting worse.
Yes.
Let's explore. Get in, get somebody to do a good physical exam and start doing some imaging studies and find out what the heck is going on, because I don't want to get bit again.
Well, let me ask you, let me ask you, Jerry, because when you say pain over and over again, pain, especially in his leg and growing down his leg, isn't Dan Nelson somebody he ought to consider? Or are you suggesting just
perhaps? But again, we got a guy here. Guys have prostates. He's an older man. And so older men are subject to things like prostate cancers, et cetera. Although if he's a patient for ours, we're watching his PSA real careful.
That's right.
So probably not that. But still, somebody needs to be looking for a reason for that pain. And, you know, we are the wrong clinic for that. An orthopedist would be good. Dan is a resource, would not be a bad place to look. He's probably going to want to get the orthopedist involved too. I think it's going to be more than one. But I'm not sure where this pain is coming from. Is it from his lower spine? Is it in his pelvis? It is in the muscle girdle? Is it in his adductors? I don't know. So, and I sure can't tell on the radio, but I want someone to take a good look and find out.
From your clinic, whether they're not detecting anything, and my insurance provider, HMO or whatever you call it, I call them right at the COVID start, and they started an appointment for an MRI, and then they called and said, well, we're going to have to put you on a waiting list. And I've checked in a couple times, and I'm still on the waiting list, but it's gotten unbearable. And
yeah, then you need to get moved up the waiting list. You need go in and see your doctor and have him raise hell. Yeah, I mean, the insurance company makes their profits collecting premiums, not paying claims. And you need somebody to say, to hell with your profit, to hell with anything else. This man needs help. I want him in. I want him today. Or you can talk to his lawyer.
Okay. And then, of course, back to my original question, actually from your clinic, why there seemed to be an idea that acupuncture might be an option. We didn't have time to talk about it. And the acupuncture guy doesn't speak English, so I don't know how to ask questions.
I
need your wife.
don't need me. My Mandarin really sucks. Even my daughter laughs at my accent. The reality is acupuncture does something, but I'm not quite sure what. I've actually seen videos of major surgical procedures done under acupuncture as the anesthesia, which just boggles my mind, because I talked to the acupuncturists and the Chinese traditional doctors, and they're describing these lines of chi and force and moving hither and yon, and they don't follow any physiologic pattern that I'm aware of. So I don't know what it's doing. It's clearly doing something, but I don't know what. And so
it doesn't mean it isn't valid.
No, it just means, listen, my ignorance is not proof of anything except that I don't know. But I do know that, you know, that traditional Western medicine will explore and look for a reason. And I have a great comfort level for that.
So
there you go.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that answers my question to some degree anyway.
Okay, but you know, yeah, but see, I've got a lot of doctors who work for me, and they each have areas of expertise that vary from mine, and I learn things from my doctors on a regular basis. Fortunately, I'm generally able to teach them something too, but so, you know, I don't know which doc you're, or what their philosophy and their knowledge base. And they may know a heck of a lot more about acupuncture than I do, but I just have to swear to ignorance.
Regardless, I think what Jerry's told you here, Austin, makes sense. Go see somebody right away. So get it checked out. Thank you for that call. We're going to go to a break about 2 minutes early so we don't have to interrupt Kathy. When we come back, Kathy from Renton has a question about her thyroid or a thyroid. And then after Kathy, Susan has a question about menstrual pain. So don't go far. Stick around. We'll be back before you know it.
I definitely would recommend that people attend a seminar. It was a great overview of what he does, but the real results are in the program, and that speaks for itself. The results came almost immediately, and they've been getting better and better.
I have no idea why I selected that music. Don't hang up.
I don't know.
The fact that I love the beats.
And the fact that sometimes people sit on hold for us for 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah. So Kathy and Susan, don't hang up. Susan in particular, because we're going to Kathy first.
Okay.
So Kathy from Renton. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Dr. Mixon, I've spoken with you before regarding my thyroid, and I don't remember for sure if you had said something about iodine being connected to that. I have a problem with being cold most of the time. And so I just, a couple of days ago, finally went and had a, you know, went to my doctor, had a physical, da-da-da. And so it's still, the labs haven't come back, but I told her that I thought maybe my medication needs to be up a bit. I don't know. But I mentioned the iodine thing, and she acted like she didn't know what I was talking about. And then before I left, she said, yeah, she goes, well, that includes something about radiation, radioactive something. I'm going, what? And so I don't know. You know.
Have you ever seen pictures of the pioneers in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Take a look next time you get online, find yourself some photographs of the pioneers in the 1800s in the Midwest and look at their necks. They've got enormous goiters, all of them. And it's an iodine deficiency. And much of the United States does not have enough iodine in the soil. And so enormous population in the 1800s, probably 2/3 of America had a goiter from the thyroid is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to produce, but it didn't have enough iodine. When your thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone, the first hormone it makes we call T4. It's thyroid hormone with 4 iodine molecules bound to it. And then once it's in your bloodstream, you strip off one of those iodines and you make T3. And so iodine is a critically important component for making thyroid hormone. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need every molecule of thyroid hormone has to start with at least 4 molecules of iodine. So if you don't have adequate iodine in your diet, indeed, your thyroid cannot function as well, and your thyroid hormone levels will be lower than they should. Mm-hmm. We often don't get overt goiter these days because almost all of your salt is iodinized.
Right.
You know, nearly a century ago, we started adding iodine to salt, knowing that Americans love to put salt in their food. So Overt iodine deficiency is much less common now than it used to be, but it's a possibility. The other trace mineral that often interferes with good thyroid function is selenium. If you don't have enough selenium in your diet, you don't make good iodine efficiency or good thyroid efficiency. So those are the two trace minerals that we want to make sure people are at, have adequate levels. One thing people forget about, I've seen too many housewives throw, they pour the salt out of the great big container into a salt shaker, and then the salt shaker sits on the back of the stove so they can shake it into the food conveniently. But iodine sublimes at about 75 to 80 degrees. That is, it goes from a solid directly into a gas and disappears into the atmosphere. And if your iodine was in that closed cardboard container, you had plenty of iodine in the salt. When you put it in the salt shaker and stick it up on the back of the stove, it gets hot, and over time, all the iodine sublimes out, and you end up with no iodine in your salt.
Good to know.
Yeah, so, you know, use the iodine.
Sea salt for,
Well,
and I don't have it on the stove at all. It's in a cupboard that's right to the left of the stove. I don't know if that's being affected in that way because I don't do a whole lot of cooking that often. At any rate, she never mentioned selenium. I didn't even think about it, but she did say what I told you about the iodine. And I'm like, oh, why? I mean, what's with the radiation thing she's talking about?
Well, it turns out that gamma radiation increases the risk of thyroid cancer. People that were in Chernobyl, for instance, an enormous number of people caught thyroid cancer after the Chernobyl accident. One of the protective mechanisms against that is to take high doses of iodine. And high-dose iodine helps protect the thyroid against radiation-induced thyroid cancer. So that's probably what she was thinking about. But we don't usually have that problem here in the United States. Unless you live in a basement in Utah, turns out the ground in Utah, the subsurface basements often have high levels of radioactive radon gas because there's a lot of uranium in the soil there. And so basements collect radiation gas. Most here, we don't have much in the way of basements. Our water level's too high, so we avoid basements here. Anyway, probably not your problem.
Should I supplement with selenium?
Well, you could. You know, we have iodine and selenium supplements that we use for our patients when we discover one who needs it. We do a test, something like a NutriVal, where we actually look at 35 different vitamins, minerals, and so on in your tissues. And if you're low on iodine or selenium, we add some. It's a little harder if you're guessing.
Because
you can also overdose on these things. So yes, we do carry it in our store, but I usually ask my docs to check the patient first.
Well, I'm going to sign up real soon, so I get one of the first August appointments. I've been procrastinating. You know how it goes.
I do indeed.
I really appreciate you guys, and thanks so much. You've been very helpful, and I'll see you soon, hopefully.
All right. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Kathy. That's very nice of you. And we're glad you're going to come in and grab one of those free health analysis appointments. All right. Let's go to Kirkland and take the last call for the day. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. I have a now 35-year-old daughter who has had bad cramps since day one. And so she just gets very, very bad cramps to the point of nausea and has to just go to sleep and take it, you know, two Motrin and deals with it. She's she's an executive now, and so that means it's a day off work, but it's easy. You know, everybody kind of has to work around that. So the other thing that happened with her is she's always carried a little bit of extra weight. Her body type is to have more breast tissue and a bigger middle, right, than me and her sisters. And so I always think of hormones. I think exercise fixes everything. In the case of her cramps, it just makes her sicker. This has gone on long enough. She gained like 40 pounds and then lost 30 of it, still carries the belly fat, now has a lot of thinning hair. So I put all this together, and I thought, there's a picture building here.
And yes, and the first one that comes is polycystic ovarian syndrome is what I'm thinking, which is a genetically transmitted disease in which the women have high androgen levels, they tend to be overweight, they have poor glucose metabolism, higher blood pressure, decreased fertility, hair loss, frequently increased acne issues. She needs to be checked. Somebody needs to get a good look and run some testing on her. If that's what the problem is, then she needs to get on something like metformin, which will help significantly. She needs to have her hormones adjusted rather aggressively to avoid the androgen excess. And as far as the cramps go, easiest way, although some hormonal manipulation can help stop that, the easiest, least invasive is to use the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, the things like ketoprofen, piroxicam, ibuprofen, any of those. Start it about 3 or 4 days before her period. Don't wait for the cramping. And if you'll knock down the prostaglandin production, because that's what's doing this, high prostaglandin production is resulting in the uterus spasming and causing pain. If you start 3 or 4 days before the period's due, push that dose of the non-steroidal up, suppress her prostaglandin production, she'll probably get a lot less cramping. But the rest of her pattern, if you use an ibuprofen, 600 to 800 milligrams a day, they come in 200 milligram pills, so three or four times a day, one pill 3 or 4 times a day. Start it 3 or 4 days before her period's due. Give it a try. It often helps. It's not a miracle. Doesn't always work, but it works frequently. So that's a nice place to start for women that are having hard, painful menstrual periods. Mm-hmm. But work her up for possible polycystic ovarian syndrome. Have her go see a good doctor that'll do that workup for her, okay?
Okay, and do you have anybody you can refer? That's what stops us, if we're not doctor people, and so we just don't do anything. I mean, you don't cure her own broken legs around here. So
I do understand. But, back in my old country doctor days, I knew every specialist in 100 miles. These days, all I treat is the aging process, so I've really fallen out of the referral network for this sort of thing now. Sorry about that.
Okay, all right. We're all in Kirkland, right, though, so that wouldn't give you any. If we talk to somebody at your clinic, do you think they could give us some guidance for Kirkland?
Might be able to. Yeah, might be able to. The other thing, of course, is check with your insurance company, and they'll give you a list of gynecologists that accept your insurance here in the Kirkland area. Because any good gynecologist can work this syndrome up. It's very common. Every gynecologist knows about it. Every family doctor probably should know about it. So it's not that hard to work up.
All right. And as far as the prescription, though, that you talked about.
That's not even a prescription. It's over the counter. Just go to the drugstore. Tell the pharmacist you need a non-steroidal, something like ibuprofen or ketoprofen or any of those.
Advil,
yeah.
As far as the diagnosis of the metformin or metformin or whatever you call it.
Oh, metformin, yeah, that's a prescription. But that's if we determine, or if her doctor determines that she's polycystic ovary, then make sure they get her on metformin right away. It makes a big difference in the outcomes.
And with that, Susan, I got to go. We're at the end of the line right here. Susan, great call. Glad you called. Good luck with your daughter. Jerry.
It's been a nice day.
It's been nice. You take off tomorrow for a little road trip with your sweet family. Enjoy your time away. And, folks, if you would like one of those free health analysis appointments, we do have about 13 or 14 of them available in Linwood. And we'll be opening them up in August here within a week or two.
And if Dr. Umat can get back from Canada, she'll do the show. And
that's
if not,
right.
I'll be doing it by remote from Southern Oregon.
One way or the other, we shall be here this next Saturday. Have a great rest of your weekend.